Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you this morning, Father. Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. Father, I pray that as I bring the word, that it will not be me standing in front, but that it will be you speaking through me. Father, I know this message that you gave me is a heart message, but I pray that you will let it sink into people's lives in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I've prepared a totally different message. I was going to speak on love your neighbor. In December, this is before I knew we were going to fast, but I didn't know what the fast, the theme after the behind the fast was going to be. I didn't know that we're going to start this year with spiritual warfare. And December, the middle of December, I was every morning, me and my wife, we go stand up early, we go and sit outside on the stoop. We had a wooden deck, there's two love seats, or they call them birds' nest seats, and that's where we spend the morning. We drink our first cup of coffee there, and the Lord starts. That's where you listen and you speak to the Lord, meditate on His word, and the Lord starts to speak to me, and He gave me this message. And I said, "Yo, Lord, this is a heart message." And it changed my whole message. But now I know why. Because we are in the fast. So this morning I'm going to speak on spiritual warfare. And I'm not going to speak on spiritual warfare as you know it. I'm going to do the practical side of spiritual warfare. So let's start. Ephesians 6, 10 verse 2, 18. You all know it. You can quote it off by heart. "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of the God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the devil, the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." That is our armor. We know it. We can quote it off by heart. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, shoes for the readiness to proclaim the gospel of peace, the shield of faith with which I will quench all the fiery darts of the enemy, and the sword of the Spirit, which you attack Satan with. We can all quote it. Who do we fight against? We fight against Satan. We fight against the devil. And his wiles, and his schemes, and his lies, and his tricks, and all his things that he uses against us to get us to fall. That is who we fight against. But we don't fight against the devil himself only, because the devil is one. He's not omnipresent. He's only one. He's only a fallen angel, created angel. But he's got helpers. And those helpers are the demons. Those are the ones that attacks you and me. All right. So, when I say Satan, I'm actually meaning the demons that attacks us. Because Satan is only at one place at one time. But his demons are all over. They are assigned to you and to me to get us to sin. From the day that you are born, they are assigned to you. And the more you do for God, the more are assigned to you to get you to fall. They know you better than what you know yourself. They know your family. They know your history. They know your weak points. They know your strong points. They know exactly where to attack you. And they know where not to attack you. They know you. All right. So what am I saying? Are you demon possessed? No. We are only attacked by demons. As a Christian, spiritual Christian, a house cannot be divided. All right. All right. Satan is not gentle. The attacks are not gentle. He will come forcefully upon you. He will say, quickly, quickly, do this, do that. The Holy Spirit, in the meantime, is gentle. He will leave you. He will leave you. You will do your sin, and the Holy Spirit will leave you. After you've done, or after you've fallen, or whatever, the Holy Spirit will come with a gentle voice and say, what did you do? Is it right what you did? And then you repent. But Satan is not like that. He's always on your case. And he will always get you to fall. Remember, today we're not going to do spiritual warfare. We're going to do the practical side of spiritual warfare. The area that affects you and me. All right. So how does Satan attack you? We've just read it. The fiery darts of the wicked one. Those fiery darts are the attack on your mind. Those are the arrows that he shoots into your mind. They say that thoughts only originate from three places. Either from yourself, limited, Satan, or the Holy Spirit. Those are the three places that thoughts originate in your mind. And we need to be careful what we allow in our minds. The mind is the battleground. That is where you got victory, or that is where you lose the battle. Amen. So you and me, we need to watch out where we allow our thoughts into. What is a fiery dart? Old days, when they used fiery darts, the enemy, they would shoot it over the wall. Remember, the walls are your protection. They are shot over the wall, and they would hope that that little flame, it's a little flame, it's not a big fire, it's a small fire, would fall on something that is flammable. Grass, thatch, wood, whatever. And then the fire would spread and the city will burn down. So Satan uses the same tactics. He will shoot his fiery dart over your protection. And if you allow that little flame to enter your mind, it will start a fire. Amen. Let me give you an example. Ladies, I've got nothing against you. I'm not showing any signs whatsoever. Lady stands in front of the mirror in the morning. And she turns. She said, I'm putting on weight. Fiery dart comes in. My husband also thinks like that. That's the fiery dart. And you allow it in your mind. And as soon as you allow that fiery dart into your mind, Satan will make sure, as sure as I'm standing in front of you, that he will add something flammable to that little flame. It's only a little flame now. It's a little flame that entered your mind. My husband also thinks that I'm put on weight. Yeah, I saw him look at X, Y, and Z. They are more attractive than me. Second thought. Flame gets bigger. He adds wood or coal. He's busy shoveling. He's got a huge shovel and he shovels. Yeah, he doesn't love me anymore. I'm sure he's got affairs, whatever. You see how big that fire comes. Tonight, the husband walks in. He doesn't know nothing. And immediately there's a fight in the house. And immediately there's problems. And as soon as you attack your husband, he attacks back. And that small little flame that was started with the arrow is now a huge, huge fire. And the end of the thing is, you're divorced, the husband's not happy, wife is not happy, the children are not happy. The only one that is happy is Satan. He's smiling and he says, yes, I got them. I've got them. That's the only one who wins. No one else. So be careful of the fiery darts of the enemy. We as human beings, we've got five windows, five doors, five openings that go straight to our mind, our soul. And we need to be careful about them. First one, eyes. Oh, men. I'm speaking to the men now. I am a man. I know. We so easily look, and if we see a beautiful woman, we so easily look. Be careful. Watch. Close those doors. The world out there knows it. Have you ever gone and buy tires? If you go and buy tires, there's a huge poster up there, the tire. And on top of the tire, there's a beautiful, perfect woman sitting there with a bikini on. Now, what that woman has to do with the tire, I don't know. Because there's no relevance. There's nothing with that tire that has to do anything with that woman. But that's how they advertise it. What is relevant to the tire is the thread pattern. How much water it can displace at what speed. The composite of the tire. That is relevant to the tire. That's what should sell the tire. Not the woman. But that's what they use because they know men have got a problem with eyes. So all the ladies jump up and say, yes, I know my husband has got a wandering eye. He looks at everything. But ladies, don't worry. You've also got a problem. The ears is the second one. Let me give you an example. You get at work. As you walk into your office, your colleagues, male colleague, of course, says to you, yeah, you've got a pretty dress on. You look awesome today. Immediately those fiery darts comes and says, my husband, he doesn't love me. He doesn't see me. He ignores me. He doesn't give me compliments. He never tells me that I look beautiful. And the second compliment comes from the same colleague. Oh, and you smell so nice. And not long, there's an affair at work. Watch out. Watch out. Watch out. Watch out for those openings that go straight into your mind. See, a man is practical. A man thinks, a man thinks. Woman, can't you see that I love you? I work my fingers to the bone. I bring all my money in every week. I provide a beautiful house for you. You've got a lovely bed to sleep in. There's always, always food in the house. You've got everything that you want. Can't you see? And the woman says, see what? My eyes doesn't work. I need to hear. Only my ears work. My eyes doesn't work. I can't see nothing. All right. So men, speak more. I know it's hard for you to speak and give over your feelings. Speak more. Woman, see more. Amen. So those are the two. Third one, taste. Taste. What you taste. taste of alcohol, taste of food. Oh, smell, you smell that red door. And immediately Satan takes your mind back to the girlfriend way, way back, because she used to have the red door on. All right. Feeling that hug, that innocent hug, or the feeling I get, you know, nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. The only place that I'm happy is when I eat. When I eat, then I'm at my happy place. Feeling. The only place I'm happy is when I drink alcohol. That takes me to my happy place. The only time that I'm happy is that when I use drugs. Opening straight into your mind. Be careful. Put a guard there. Watch for those openings. All right. Jesus prayed a prayer over his disciples. It's a whole chapter long, the prayer. I'm only going to take 4 verses out of the prayer. That prayer is still relevant to us because we are his disciples. Still relevant to us. John 17, verses 15 to 18. So as I read this prayer, you can apply it to yourself. John 17, verse 15 to 18. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. We are Christians, but we are not isolated. We are in this world. So, as I read that scripture, what comes to mind? You and me, if we are out of this world, we are no good to God. Let me give you an example. Many years ago, we went to Israel, and just north of Jericho, there's the wilderness, and there's a huge mountain, steep peaks. You can't climb up there. It's impossible. You have to be a professional mountain climber. On top of that mountain, there's a monastery built by monks. If you go and visit them, they have to pull you up with a steel pulley in a cage because there's no stairs, there's no roads, there's nothing. It's only through that pulley system that you can get onto that monastery. If you live like that, you're no good to God. All right. If you live in this world, and you are not free of this world, you are no good to God. If you live in this world and you are free of the sins and the temptations of this world, then you are good for God and God can use you mightily. Let me repeat this for you. If you are living in isolation, not part of this world, as a Christian, you are no good to God. If you live in this world, but you are part of the world, you are not free of the temptation and the problems of this world, you are no good to God. But if you live in this world, and you are free of this world, then God can use you. And that's where God wants you to be. Amen. The problem is not the sin. The problem is not the alcohol. The problem is not the sex. The problem is not hate. The problem is not judgment. The problem is not the world. It's not the sin. The problem is you and me. Me and you. That is what the problem is. We can easily say, yes, alcohol, that's from the devil. We must get rid of all alcohol. Burn it. Destroy it. But now if you are addicted to sex and pornography, can you say that, oh, all women are from the devil. We need to burn them. Get rid of them. Destroy them. No. The problem is not the alcohol. The problem is not the sex. The problem is you and me. It's we that needs to get victory over our lives. It's you and me. We will always be part of this world, just as I read to you. We will always cross alcohol. All those things will always cross our paths. It's what we do when it crosses our paths that makes a difference. We need to get victory in our mind. Now the question is, how do we get a victorious life? Know yourself. Satan knows you. He knows every area, every aspect, every smallest detail. He knows exactly how to tempt you and what area not to tempt you. He knows you. Know yourself. Don't lie to yourself. And stop making excuses. Joshua this morning, the word that he brought. Stop making excuses. I can so easily blame Satan. You know, it's Satan. He's the problem. You know, when men have got a problem, they blame, they shift blame. That's what we do. First thing, it's not me. Oh, no, it's not me. It's his fault. Adam and Eve, it started. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the snake, and the snake didn't have a leg to stand on. All right. Stop blaming. Satan can only do what you allow him to do. That's the only thing he can do. Everything is subject to you. Your spirit. Even if God wants you to do something and you reject him, he cannot operate. So Satan cannot do anything that you do not allow him to updo. Stop blaming addiction. It's the alcohol, it's the drugs, it's the pain pills, over-counter medicine, it's the whatever. Stop blaming it. Stop blaming break-ins and stealings and whatever. Yeah, you know, they stole from me. Let me give you a quick testimony. They stole my baki. First things that came up is hatred. Yeah, if I can get that guy, I will wring his neck. How dare he steal my baki? It's hatred. And somehow everything. The country, the pull, everything you just hate. And I needed to go to the bank. That's how I knew the baki was stolen, because I came out and the baki was gone. I needed to go to the bank. And we took the other car, we went to the bank. As I walked from the parking area to the bank, the Holy Spirit started to work with me. And I said, yes, that baki is gone. I'll never see that baki again. I donate it. I forgive that guy. I donate that baki. It's not going to bring me to a bad place in my life. Because when I've got hatred, it's only me that suffers. We walked into the bank. We did our business. We walked out of the bank. My cell phone rings. It's a commander in Soweto that phoned me, and he says, that baki, it's registration, I can't remember. Is it yours? He said, yes, it's been stolen just now. He says, it's standing at Prudia Glen. They caught the thieves. Go there. He says to me, don't allow the police to book that thing into the 13th store. Go there and get it back. Because if they book it into the 13, you'll never see it again. It's going to be stripped, whatever. And I got my bucky back. And I believe if I did not set free that guy, if I did not forgive, I would have never got that back, bucky back again. Stop blaming family, people. But you are not married to my wife. Yeah, my wife is the devil herself. I cannot live victorious because. Stop blaming family, my family. Oh, stop blaming people of other skin color. Just because he's black or because he's white doesn't mean need you to have a hatred against him. Amen. Stop blaming such circumstances. Rape, molestation, poverty, all those things. I know, I can't speak, I don't know, I've never been raped, I don't know, but this is from the Holy Spirit. If you need to forgive, forgive, set free, move on with your life, ask the Holy Spirit. He will, to get you over this. Stop blaming death. Yeah, but my husband died, my wife died, my mother died, my father died. Reason why I brought this, let me give you an example. When we were still working, we had a hobo, Obert. He was an alcoholic. He's a hobo. He would ask for 10 rand just to buy a liter of wine. If he opens his eyes, he wanted 10 rand for the liter of wine so that he could drink. That was his whole outlook on life. He knew when he came to us, he couldn't ask for money. We would say, Bert, we don't give you money. Ask for bread, ask for tea, ask for coffee, we will give you. And Erica would make him every day samis, jam, peanut butter, whatever, what we had, coffee. And I would spend days, hours with him. And I would ask him, Bert, why are you like this? Why are you an alcoholic? And he would tell me his whole life story. He was a qualified fitter and turner. He was in charge of Nanpack, of the production line where they folded the boxes, carton boxes. He would go out on call-outs and he would say to me, yes, it's because my dad died at a very young age. I was only 8 years old when my dad died. And that's why I'm an alcoholic. And I would say to Bert, I know your sister, she lives in Jones Street, but she didn't become an alcoholic. Your brothers and your other sisters, none of them. And your dad died, and they were all small. Why is it that you became a... Couldn't give me an answer. So Satan can even use the death of somebody to get you into a hold or a stronghold that you battle to get out of. Stop blaming divorce, the bitterness, the hatred that comes with divorce. Stop blaming sickness. Oh, you know, I've got so much ache and pains in my body and nobody cares. And stop blaming accidents. I've lost my arm, I can't work because of an accident or whatever. Stop blaming and giving excuses for strongholds in your life to this world. Forgive where it's needed to be forgiven. Set free where you need to set free people. Take responsibility of your own action and make a decision that it's going to stop here right now. I'm no longer going to be a victim of strongholds because of past things happening to my life. I'm going to live in victory from today. All right. John 1 John 4 verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. We have got the Holy Spirit in us. God, the Holy Spirit is one. God has never, ever, 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 ever lost a battle. Never. He's in you. With you, you will never lose a battle. Amen. So, what is God's answer for our strongholds, for our problems? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 to 10. Paul had a stronghold in his life. He calls it the thorn of the thorn in the flesh. It's an area that he battled with to get victory over. Whether there was an eye condition, as some say, whether it was a sickness, whatever it was, we don't know. But he had a thorn in the flesh. And God gave him the answer. And that answer is still applicable to you and me. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities than the power of Christ, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong." We so easily, we all know it. When I'm weak, God is strong. But we so easily say, I don't need to do anything because I'm only weak. God can do it for me. No, it doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. You have to come to the realization that you cannot do it on your own strength. Let me give you an example. I had a problem with a thought that came to my mind. And I would pray and say, "God, I've got this problem. And I am going to go through this day, today, today. I'm not going to think that thought the whole day. I want victory over this area. I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to go through this whole day without thinking it." 2-3 hours later, forget it. Missed it. Failed. Miserably. And then, "God, why? Why don't I get victory over this thought?" The answer is, I said, I am going to. When I am at work, God cannot work. God cannot work. When I try to do something, God cannot do anything. Because the glory will come to me and not to God. And God is a jealous God. He doesn't share His glory with no one. So the more you try to do something, the more you try to get victory, the more you're going to lose. But if you fall on your knees and you cry, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Father, I've tried. I cannot. Father, I give it over to you and I ask you to do it for me. Because on my own strength, I'm useless. But you can do it for me." Then you will get victory. Then you will get victory. It's exactly what God's answer to Paul was. "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Until you realize that you are weak and you give it over to God, you are not going to have victory with your alcohol, with your drugs, with your whatever stronghold that is in your life, thoughts, hate thoughts, judgmental thoughts, whatever, I'm better than everybody else. Give it over to God and ask Him to fight on your behalf because you are weak. Right. So to sum up this message that I've got yet for you this morning. First of all, just before I sum up, this weakness is not only in areas that we battle with, strongholds. This weakness comes through salvation. You have to be poor in spirit to get salvation. You have to realize that you need God to save you. And that is when you get salvation. This weakness comes through in healing. You go and see all the doctors and you jump from doctor to doctor. Where is your faith? You jump from pole to pole. Where is your faith? You rely on doctors. You rely on man. You rely on poles to heal you. You have to come to the place where you say, God, it's not the doctors, it's not the pills, it's you that's going to heal me. I'm weak, I need you. Don't be unwise and leave all your pills now and don't go and see the doctors. But don't put your faith in the doctors and the pills. This weakness comes in forgiveness. You can't come before God and proudly and say, "Ah, God, forgive me." You have to come in humbleness and ask, "Father, forgive me. I've sinned." And with a repentant heart, weakness, humbleness. So this weakness is right through your Christian life that you have to apply it. And now to sum up this message. If you need victory, know yourself. Know the areas that you struggle with. Don't make excuses. Take responsibility. And say that it is going to stop today here. Realize that the fight is not yours. You've tried to fight the fight, but you've lost every time. Give it over to God. Become weak in His sight. And then God will give you victory. Amen. So I'm going to open this altar. If you need to forgive, come forward. Forgive, set free. If you need deliverance in areas, come forward and ask God. Cry to Jesus and say, "I've tried it on my own. I haven't got it right. I need you to fight on my behalf." We're going to pray for you, but it's God who's going to give you the victory this morning. Amen. So as I pray, come forward. Father, we thank you that we have got the Holy Spirit in us. Father, we thank you that you've never lost the battle. Father, we thank you that we can trust on you. Father, we thank you that we can give our problems to you. And because we are weak, we cannot do it on our own. But you can do it for us. And we thank you for that. And Father, as we come this morning, Father, I pray that you will set people free, that you will deliver people. Father, that they will walk out in the world with no bondage on their lives, completely free, and be able to do mighty works for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.